when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, thank you so much, Blood River Radio family. We have another fella come on. I met him. He's next up. He's a veteran of Charlottesville. I met him for the first time back in July when we were up there at Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I, like everybody else I know, they met him, liked him at first sight. He's a hardworking guy. I mean, this guy is a salty of the earth, hardcore. He walks the walk at being a white Southern patriot. He really is. His name is Johnny Rupp. And, it's such a delight to have him on. But what we'll do, we'll bring on Johnny Redbone, introduce him. I'll ask him a question or two. And I know Rand's going to come in here. Rand, I want our brother. I'm sure he'll have a question or two or a comment. So how are you doing tonight, Johnny Redbone? First of all, I'd like to thank you for coming on Blood River Radio.
Well, Eddie, I'm tickled to be here. And it's been wide open all day.
Well, I tell you, you still got your did you do much leather work today?
I've been wide open since 10 a.m.
Okay. Oh, that's okay. There you go. Okay, that's what you're talking about. I should have brought, I have a couple of sidearms I should have brought. I didn't know you did that, or I'd have brought them. I know, I think Rich, our brother Rich Hamlet had a holster made while he was up there, I believe. Wished I would have had, that was a classic piece that he had. That beautiful piece. I've got a little snub nose 38. My wife carries, and I've got a 45 ACP. I like to carry, kind of heavy, but I like to carry that. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, Johnny Reb, and tell us about, I know you were at Charlottesville, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us anything, anywhere you want to go, why you went to Charlottesville, what you saw, what you took away from Charlottesville, with any political, socio-political changes. Any, like, if the mask being pulled off, these people exposed them, our enemy exposed themselves for all to see. Anything, any way you want to go. So take off, Johnny Reb.
Well, I went to Charlottesville. Just an old dumb country boy wanting to know why they're messing with our statues. And I came home labeled all kind of horrible things. Then I did my research and found out, wrong side won, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
And that's why we're at where we're at today. So, just did a lot of research, and I found good people to surround myself with, people like you and James and all the people. All the people in our milieu are really good people and educated. That's the biggest thing.
Thank you.
And we don't fall into the status quo. We're definitely fringe. So, but we're becoming more mainstream. I've noticed that. You're talking about the socio-political, you know, cesspool. A lot of people are leaving and coming our way.
I hear that, and I hope so. I haven't seen it here in Memphis, where I live. The whites are definitely in the minority here. We have, you know, just oceans of blacks, and now it's getting to be where probably outnumbered by, we have in my cove, we have Hondurans, people from Honduras, Colombia, Mexico. You will not believe how Memphis has transformed right before my very eyes in the last few years. But if when we're in Charlottesville, and I'm going to ask this question, I know it's kind of a rhetorical question, but I'll lead off. This is going to be a lead question. It's going to lead to another question. Were you surprised at just the raw hatred and violence directed toward our type of people when we were up there, Johnny? Or did you expect it?
The best thing I can say is trial by fire, because I did not expect any of that. I went to go hear, you know, Dr. Hill speak, David Duke speak, and a lot of internet personalities that I had listened to for the last, you know, a few years prior. And when we got to Lee Park, it was like, what in the hell time, what parallel universe did I just step off into? It was overwhelming to see the hatred towards us. And, you know, we didn't bring any violence. We didn't bring any trouble. 90% of the people there, over 90, they showed up on our side, showed up to hear people speak and have questions yes. answered. And that was it. And I know firsthand what I saw was all the destruction and mayhem was on their side. It was just self-defense on our side. So.
Yes, you know, and I know we've told our audience before, since we talked about Charlottesville for the years, the only time that the police ever stepped in was when, I guess, when one of our people was probably getting the upper hand in a fist fight or something like that.
Exactly.
But, you know,
or they refused to just stay down. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was up there and I went up there for the political cesspool. I was still with the political cesspool then, and that was my first job as a field representative, as a field reporter. And we interviewed people right in off the street that night. And I interviewed these two young guys. They looked like they were 16, 17. They looked like they could be a day over 18. And the cops had beat the hell out of them. And the cops were trying to kick them out of the park. And they kicked one of two of them down, kind of like set off of a ledge. I think I know where that ledge is because I was close to it at one time. And when they hit, when they fell down, they hit one of them in the back with the, or two of them in the back, in the back with a baton. And the guy said on the radio that night, the first fellow said he could hear his buddy smack baton on me. And then a second after that, he got it. And the cops were cursing them. And gets this, and these weren't black cops or Jew cops. These were fellow white cops doing that. But before I go to another question, I want to ask, Rand, do you have any comments you'd like to make or any questions before we go on? But if you do, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Thank you, Eddie. And
sure.
Hey, Johnny Ray. Hope you're doing well.
Sorry.
First thing I'd like to say just real quick is that how proud I am to be associated with people like Michael Tubbs and Mary Barlow, very brave people, and others, many others, 6 years ago today, and associated with them, you know, longer than that and over time. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it real quick. The Florida League down there, which is headed up by Brother Tubbs and Sister Mary, they're the prototype league chapter, and they're the chapter, the way they conduct themselves and their business. That's the way all league chapters should adhere to. And anyway, I just wanted to say that real quick. And as far as that day 6 years ago, you know, I think those leftists, you know, I think they, in their mind, they might have thought that they could keep us out of the park, number one. And after we entered the park, I think they give the leftists a chance to run us off. And after they wasn't able to run us off, of course, they called for the unlawful assembly and pushed us out into the crowd. And, you know, this morning and even while I was listening to Mary and Brother Tubbs, I was watching some footage from RT. And, you know, I knew this, but it's just kind of been reiterated to me. Exactly how they boxed us in, barricade on all three sides, boxed us in there, drove us out, all the while letting these communist scum take pot shots at us, law enforcement standing just a few feet away, watching that, never doing anything other than making sure that they got us out of the park. And Johnny, my question to you, tell us a little bit, Johnny, after they called the unlawful assembly, tell us your story, which way you went, and tell the audience a little bit about your experience on getting back to the parking garage or wherever you might have went back to that day.
Well, first of all, I was in the group that came from McIntyre Park. We were shuttled in, but we had to walk all the way back. But I was right at the base of Lee's statue, waiting for the speakers. And I'm standing next to Mike Enoch, and there was a couple other people I knew there. And I watched this fat cop, fat white cop, reach in his pocket. He heard something on his earbud, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out an index card. And that's the card he read over his little bullhorn announcing the unlawful assembly. And I was face to face with that cop for a good 30 minutes before speech time. So this thing was, I knew it was planned and orchestrated way in advance. Because that cop never left my, he never left my sight.
You know, Johnny, you're exactly right, and I second you on that, because some of the footage that I watched just this morning shows that cop reading from a card exactly what he was saying over that bullhorn. He already had it wrote down. You're exactly right, and I appreciate you bringing that to everybody's attention.
We got to go to a quick break, Johnny. Be right back, fellas. This break.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, I never get tired of our sound bites. We've had those sound bites now, the new ones, I think probably since the first of this year, since we went to 3 hours. And Jock Ewing is telling you right, and we preach this over and over, nobody is going to give you power. No one is going to give you liberty. No one is going to give you jack. You have to take it. To my knowledge, and I'm going to ask, I'll ask Rand and Johnny Reb this, and I'm going to get out of their way. To my knowledge, there's never been one single case in history where a group of people have won freedom from run liberty from a position of being enslaved, from being in slavery. Done it themselves. I'm not talking about somebody else doing it for them. I'm talking about there hadn't been one single case in history of people winning their liberty without resorting to violence. It has to. It's not going to be peaceful. And with that, I'll go to Johnny Reb, and then when Johnny Reb winds down, Rand, take over. Go ahead, Johnny.
Oh, okay. Well, we were talking about, you know, Charlottesville before, but for people with that goldfish memory, I've had this talk three times today in my shop with people. They come in with all this red and blue and Trump, DeSantis, you know, all that typical, you know, smoke and mirrors BS. And I can't help reflecting back to Weimar Germany, 1929. It was so degenerate. The enemy always overplays their hand too fast, too hard. And to me, we're at that tipping point. They keep everybody distracted with their, you know, bread and circus or dog and pony show or whatever you want to call it. But here we are. And the normies that I talk to on a daily basis, they're seeing it and they're tired of it. But they don't know that there's other options out there. So, you know, I steer them to shows like yours and James and some other deeper, harder core. It depends on their level, where they're at, is where I send them. But y'all are doing God's work. The subjects, your attitude, your presentation, it's all good.
Appreciate that.
I just hope for things to, I don't know, I used to be a nihilist, now I'm an accelerationist.
Yes, me too.
You're right, Johnny. Again, you know, football season's just around the corner, and you know, everybody, you know, the world's about to fall apart. Already, World War III's already started. You know, and people just counting down the days to football season. Just imagine if we could just get one stadium's worth, for lack of a better way to put it, if we could just get one stadium's worth on any given Saturday during college football season to open their eyes and organize and start a aggressive movement to change things in our country. If we could just get about one stadium's worth to come together and organize, you know, that would be enough. We could just get that many to come. And you're right, at that day, the people that was on the right, that was there to defend that majestic monument, which, you know, by the way, you know, taking that monument down wasn't good enough for those scumbags up there. You know, they plan to, and they may already have, I'm not sure. But they're going to melt that monument down. They're going to melt it down and destroy it. Now, if that doesn't show their true colors and where the real hate is, I don't know what would. But what you get back to what I was going to say, you're right. Everything that the people that went there to listen to those speeches and to have our gathering there at that park, everything that they did was a reaction. It was all in self-defense. It was a reaction of either being spit on, hit on, something thrown at them, all of it. I would dare to say that not one person that marched into that park today, that day, to protest initiated any kind of physical aggression until after they were forced to. And And, you know, something was mentioned about Trump earlier, and I'm certainly one of the ones that don't think Trump's the savior, but he has said a lot of good things, and I think in a lot of ways he has opened the eyes to many so-called Americans. But, you know, I heard Tucker Carlson say that the one thing that really, where Trump messed up, was when he said, I think it was in a campaign, I think it was at a debate, he said that there were no weapons of mass destruction, talking about Iraq, and they knew it. And, you know, I agree with Tucker, but, you know, I also think that another thing that he said that got him in hot water, so to speak, with both sides of the aisle, was when he said that day 6 years ago that they were good people on both sides. I think that was equally damaging to him as his comments about the weapons of mass destruction when it comes to the ruling elite, the powers to be, so to speak. But yeah, what a time to be alive as it goes on, and Eddie talks about things that that you can tie in to that event. Well, you can tie in the involvement of organizations like Black Lives Matter, blacks in general. I mean, just recently, last Saturday, I don't live in Montgomery. I live above Montgomery. In Alabama, but they have a riverboat down there, and they have a riverboat ride on the weekends. And there was an argument that took place between a group of white people. And the first thing you got to realize that Montgomery is now probably 70-75% black. They control everything in Montgomery. I don't do any business in Montgomery anymore. I avoid Montgomery. I go through it on the interstate, and other than that, I don't stop. But anyway, there was an argument about docking a pontoon boat where the riverboat docks, that they go out on these two-hour tours, and they take people around on the riverboat. And there was an argument. There was one thing. There was no sign saying, do not dock here. But there was an argument between the riverboat personnel and the group of white people. They were from Selma, Alabama. They ranged from 20 years old to 48. There was about six or seven of them, a couple of women. And they got this argument, and they did eventually have an altercation with what they called the co-captain, who had left the boat and come over to get them to move the boat. And they did have an altercation with him. And immediately after that started, all these other blacks that was on the riverboat, a couple of them swam to the dock. And then when the riverboat finally got docked, they unloaded and come. The retaliation, and what I'm getting to, my point is, from the mayor of Montgomery and the police chief, all you hear is about the group that came from Selma to sow divisiveness and division in Montgomery, and how they weren't going to put up with hate and all that. But they never show or talk about the footage of many, many videos that show the retaliation of all of these blacks that came down to their boat, jumped on them. And one thing I really wanted to point out is about one of them had a white woman by the hair of the head. The footage is plain. I know everybody's seen it. Pulling her by the hair of the head with his left hand, and the whole time hitting her in the head with his right hand. Not one utter out of the police chief in Montgomery, not one utter from the mayor. I hear the music. I probably took that too long. But that's one, that ties back to Charlottesville.
You're absolutely right. I was hoping you'd make that point. Johnny, God bless you. Please keep in touch. We got to bring our next guest on after this break. Thank you again. Keep in touch. And tell my buddy up there that runs Dixie Republicans at High.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. Hawaii officials say the death toll from the Lahaina wildfire is now up to 80. More bodies were found Friday as the search teams combed through the rubble of the Maui resort town that was destroyed by a raging wildfire this week. The fire destroyed over 1,000 buildings, and the death toll is expected to rise as search teams with cadaver dogs continue to look for bodies. The brush fire is now the deadliest natural disaster in Hawaii's history, surpassing a tsunami that killed 61 people on the Big Island in 1960. The man accused in some of New York's longest unsolved Gilgo Beach serial killings is pleading not guilty. Rex Huerman is charged with 3 murders, has been assigned a lawyer.
It's really hard for us to comment, other than it's important to know that when somebody's charged with a crime, you have to afford them the presumption of innocence.
At least 10 sets of human remains, mostly young female prostitutes, were found on Long Island along or near Gilgo Beach more than a decade ago. More than 90 million people across the U.S. are under heat warnings and advisories. El Paso, Texas has seen triple-digit temperatures for 28 consecutive days. Residents of Phoenix, Arizona have spent 13 days in a row with temperatures over 110 degrees. Former Vice President Mike Pence facing questions from conservatives over his strong support of U.S. assistance to Ukraine in its war with Russia.
Your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Pence sat down for an interview with former Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Carlson pressed Pence over his stance on Ukraine, claiming American cities have become more worse over the past several years, yet Pence supports giving Ukraine billions of dollars in aid. This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now. I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code STRONG for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code STRONG for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code STRONG.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on to the break. This is really a very solemn day. 6 years ago today, me and a lot of my other brothers, we were in Charlottesville, and it's what breaks my heart. So many of us, our brothers, are in prison, and they'll be there. Like, we had one fella, Jacob Goodwin, is in prison, and his dad told me they will not let him out one day early. He'll be there until that damn prison crumbles with age before they let him out, before he gets out early. Anyway, people, we got this new fella coming in. His name is Greg, and since he's good friends with Rand, and Rand's known him longer than I have, Rand's going to go ahead and take this interview pretty much. So go ahead, Rand, take over, brother.
Okay, well, thank you, Eddie, and I do consider Greg from Wyoming. We are calling as a brother, although I only met Greg one day, and that was 6 years ago today. He rode in from the compound into Charlottesville with me, and rode back with me, and I'm just glad that he was able to get on the show today. And Greg, if you will, just go ahead and tell the people out there a little bit about yourself and share whatever you'd like to share about your experience from that day 6 years ago in Charlottesville, Virginia. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I've lived in the West my whole life, and I actually don't have any Confederate history, but my wife, her family was from Mississippi during the war, and she had ancestors that fought with the 13th Mississippi, and I met a lot of these guys online, and I could tell they were good people, and my wife and I went to Alabama to a league conference in 2017, and we went, and we had a great time, good people, and my wife, I came home from work shortly before Charlotte's Zone. She says, "Hey, I bought some plane tickets. We're going." And that's how we ended up going. The day before we went to Battle of the Wilderness, she lost an ancestor there, and we wanted to visit that battlefield. And, you know, we were into the history of – you know, we used to we used to be Civil War reenactors, so I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the South, and you know, I know the cause is right, and that's kind of how we ended up there.
Okay. Greg, if I could, let me ask you this: that day, was you in the column that come out of the parking garage, or did you make your way to the park some other way? You were to come out of the parking garage, I believe.
Yeah, I came down Market Street with everybody, and you know, after the chaos when they disbanded us, I ended up. I'm a former Marine, and my military experience kicked in. I wanted to stay near somebody that was on our team with a League of the South flag or a battle flag or, you know, something. And I ended up with Patrick Martin. And we were going to go to McIntyre Park, and I had no idea where I was or how to get there. And they were the ones that kind of saved me on getting back to safety. I missed out on that. Fighting your way back through Market Street back to the parking garage. I would say the biggest surprise for me of that day was, you know, people that I've known my whole life, my family included, that they have believed what was on the electric rabbi versus, you know, family that was there. I mean, their family that was there that experienced it firsthand. Nobody called me and asked me what really happened. I seen all kinds of comments from them, and it was terrible that people believed the lies instead of, you know, people that they knew that actually witnessed it firsthand. Another thing that struck me hard was I got to meet Simon Roche and got to talk with him, and him saying about we're a decade behind South Africa, and I believe that with all my heart, that you know, I we got to witness it firsthand. Now the rest of America is getting to witness it, that who's doing it to us and why.
Absolutely. I think we're, like you just said, we're just a few years behind what's going on in South Africa, and it's happening more and more, just like I just told about the little episode in Montgomery, Alabama last Saturday. You see right. More and more things like that go on and so forth and so on. Go ahead, Greg.
Our people, you know, I living in Wyoming, our people here are so deceived, and it's so sad. It's frustrating, you know. You try and speak the truth, and people don't want to hear it. And
no kidding, Wyoming?
Churches are...
Well, they want to be good Americans, I think, you know. They want to be good Americans, and it's hard for people. You was talking about your relatives. I'm in the same boat. I think we all are to more extent than others. about how we've been treated or shunned or thought of since Charlottesville, for being at Charlottesville, for participating in what went on that day. But I think it's easier for them to believe the lies. They don't want for some reason, I think they just don't want to see that truth all the way, because they know they're gonna have to react to it. They know they're gonna eventually figure out that most everything that they have been taught about America, all of their lives, for the most part, has been lies. And people can't take that. You know, for some reason, most people can't take that. Go ahead, Greg.
That's absolutely true. I get you told me that we're the remnant, and I absolutely believe that.
What a more noble cause are just to pray to our Father every day for letting certain ones have eyes to see and ears to hear, and praying that He will let us stick around to be part of, for instance, the 300 Gideon, the 300 with Gideon, you know.
Exactly.
Because Gideon was in a wine press thrashing wheat. I mean, he was so far from being a warrior. So God will use who He chooses. And there's a remnant out there, Greg, and to all the listeners. And, you know, that's what gives me hope. When you read that scripture about how God uses a few, that gives me hope every day. And that gives me the strength to go on and not worry about what people may call me, not worry about what people may think about me. I'm worried about what my Father thinks about me. And in this day and age, He is so disappointed. I got to know, and I'm not being judgmental, He's the judge, but He's got to be so disappointed with so many people. Just think about it.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
Well, did you, that day, getting back to that day, you know, I remember being back in the back toward to the what you would call the bitter end. I remember Richard Spencer being back there at the monument itself, refusing to leave, and they eventually pushed the rest that was still in there out. And when I got out into Market Street, everybody was saying, you know, well, not everybody, but a lot of people saying, go to McIntyre Park. And I remember looking to my left and seeing that mountain of a brother going up Market Street, Michael Tubbs, and I knew where to go. And I fell in with that group. I was kind of in the back, bringing up the rear, and I hear the music.
I was going to say, we got to go to a quick break, man.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. And these two guys we got on, they're doing a really great job. Thank God for them. Thank God for Rand. I got a couple of questions, and then I'm going to ask these questions. I'll ask it to Greg, and then Greg can answer. Rand can answer. And then Greg has a few things he wants to talk about. I think about the ambulances up there in Charlottesville. Anyway, Greg, this is kind of a two-part question. You know, the 2024 presidential elections are looming on the not too distant future horizon. And a lot of people, the senatorial offices are going to be up for grabs. Well, that said, does it matter, Greg, one whit? Would it matter? Pick anybody in the whole world. You could have Benjamin Netanyahu. You could have Dr. Hill. You could have Trump. Anybody. Would it matter one whit who... Just say, for instance, we could get elected to the White House to get as the presidency and or to the Senate. All right. Would that matter a whit with the condition this system is in right now, the political system and the social quagmire we're in? The second part of this question is, if you feel like I do, that it would not, it doesn't matter a tinker's damn. We could have Pinocchio in there and it wouldn't matter. We could have Adolf Hitler the third in there. Okay. Secondly, my second question, if you agree like I do you consider that people who preach a nonviolent solution to the getting out or to get to our, getting us to a future, a viable future for our people, do you consider them a counterproductive at worst, I mean, at best, you know, and a detriment to our future at worst, if that's not too much to ask? So go ahead, Greg, if you have any, if you'd like me to repeat that, I will, and you can take it, and then Greg can take it. Y'all can do it quickly, and then the rest of the show belongs to y'all. So go ahead, fella.
So I think I quote Mark Twain here, if, you know, his saying, if voting mattered, they wouldn't let us do it. And I think
I got to remember that.
Yeah. But I think if Dr. Hill was on the ballot, I would go to the polls. I know I would.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're at the point of no return. We're, you know, voting is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's too bad more of our people don't see that. Yeah, that's what led me to the league is my wife and I were delegates. We supported Ron Paul in 2012, and we've seen you know, just at our local level here in Wyoming, that it was corrupt. That they put in there who they want, and that's a fact. And they're serving the international bankers, not us.
I'd like to chime in on something Eddie mentioned about the nonviolent types. And I may have said this last week, and if I did, y'all forgive me for repeating myself. But for all the nonviolent types that Eddie so adequately describes on the show regular, they should have to make a hike up like that day in Charlottesville up Market Street after they pushed us out of that park. They should have had to make that little stroll back up to that parking garage to get to our vehicles. And they might have a little bit different opinion about the peacenik, love, all come together types. If they had a little dose of that, just a little small, up close and personal dose of how that walk was back to that parking garage that day.
Rand, one quick question here, and you can bounce it over to Greg. This will be my last question, hopefully. Did Charlottesville, did it wake up, did it, let's say, for instance, you were kind of wise to the so-called political situation, how useless it is to participate in the political situation is right now. Did Charlottesville, did it wake you up anymore? And how many people do y'all think it did wake up, if any, that the so-called normies, did many normies get a boat jolts over the head by Charlottesville, or did it do them more harm? Did more normies turn against us? Go ahead, Rand, and you do that, and then back to Greg.
Well, sadly, to be honest, I don't think it woke very many up. And to be honest with you, and that's sad, because unfortunately, so many believe everything that's run through that television program. Tubing, they believe it. That's all they know. And as far as me feeling much different, not really, because you got to remember, I went to New Orleans a few weeks or so before Charlottesville to defend that monument, along with many of my league brothers and sisters, and the exact same thing. Would have happened that afternoon, morning, that happened in Charlottesville had not the authorities in New Orleans done their job. I would go as far as to say as there were just as many of those scumbag leftist communist types in New Orleans that day as there were in Charlottesville. The only thing is that the city government, along with who knows, no telling who all else that they conspired with to organize and to arrange. I got to give it to them. They was pretty smart on their part to arrange how all that took place that day. Because it might have been Johnny Reb, I think, earlier said, the guy reading it on the index card about the unlawful assembly, he already had it in his pocket, reading it word for word, exactly what somebody had scripted for him to read. They knew that was eventually going to wind up that way if the leftists couldn't keep us out of there. I think they first thought that the leftists maybe could keep us out of there, push us back. We golfed, took our tails and run, which that certainly didn't happen. But and then after that didn't happen, they went to kindly plan B after we got all boxed in. And people out there, I want you just to imagine. When I say boxed in, I'm talking about literally they had barricades around three sides of this. And once we got into the park, the law enforcement was all around these three sides, standing there doing nothing. They're standing there as spectators and let this onslaught of these leftists go on and on and on until they realized they weren't going to take that park from us. They weren't going to push us out. The leftists wasn't. And then the authorities took their power to put, and you know, it's one thing to push a grown man out into all of that vile wickedness, but to push women, elderly women that had made it inside that park.
They don't care.
I'm not sure exactly about children, but I know for a fact.
There was a 13-year-old there.
There were some elderly women that was inside that park. And for them to push us out into that, I mean, that's just, that's so disgusting.
Yes,
that's so wrong. And that's a good example of what we're up against as,
right.
as whites. That's a good example of what we're all up against as whites when you take a stand to even be proud to be white.
Well, we're about to run out of time. We better get back to Greg, not to cut you off, but we're about to run out of time. I got to make one more announcement quite quickly. That photograph that was sent to me so early, earlier, the one that was so good. Matter of fact, Michael Tubbs just chimed in and said it was a great picture. Now, Rich Hamlin did not send that photograph. I meant to mention it earlier, but I wanted to do it before I run out of time. My sister Janice Hamlin is the one that sent that great photograph. And thank you so much, Sister Janice. I'm sorry I misidentified who sent that. Anyway, I'll throw it back to Greg because we've only got a few minutes left, Ram. Go ahead, Greg. Where would you like to go with the last several minutes we've got?
Well, I got some suspicions about that Challenger crash. Rand and I were up at his pickup, and somebody come up and said some of our people are having trouble coming into the garage, and we went down to help them come in. And I've never even talked to Rand about this before today, but I seen a bunch of ambulances parked next to police garage and a bunch of leftists coming out of it, and none of them were hurt. They were loaded to the gills, and they were playing grab ass and laughing and joking, and I really, really think there was something suspicious about that situation too. Like something was planned there. I mean, I can't prove anything. I don't, but I did witness that with my eyes, and I didn't even know about the crash at the time. And it was something that I thought about, you know, after the fact that, you know, why were those? And then when I heard about the crash, I kind of put two and two together. That's just where my gut is.
I'm glad you brought that up, Greg. I never thought about it.
I don't even know if you even remember seeing the ambulances. There was so much chaos going on there at the time. But you know, why would healthy people be getting out of an ambulance? And
I think you might be on to something right there for sure. And you know, I'd like to say real quick, Eddie, if I could. I know we're about to run out of time. Maybe we can get Greg back as we continue this. Next weekend, at least maybe 1 hour of Charlottesville. Maybe we could get Greg back again, since this was his first time to be on and discuss it. And so
we're
maybe
booked,
we can.
We're booked up pretty good. We've got a lot of people. We have a lot of people up there. You know, obviously, they're scheduled. Hey y'all, never mind. Hey y'all, I gotta make this. This is another. Correction, that wasn't the photograph that Sister Hamlin gave. It was Rich said that he said he was correcting me over the holster. He sent me he said I sent you the picture. I didn't say the picture of the holster, but anyway, I'll correct that. Rich did send the photograph. Rich, I wonder how he paid for that picture. Rich paid for the holster that was made. Thanks for correcting me, Rich. I don't like to leave anything uncorrected. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you for coming on, brother. It's been a pleasure.
It was an honor,
and thank
brother.
You, Rand. Yep. Yep. So we're going to we're going into Big Sister Nancy Hitt and little baby sister Monica Braveheart. They're going to take the third hour. Be right back, folks.